Hello and welcome. Roni's Own Media and RoniesOwn.com proudly present the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the ABC TV show Once Upon a Time. Your hosts are Jeff and Colleen Roni from Orange County, California. And now, on with the show. Hi there. There are a number of ways that you can stay connected and interact with the show. Our main website address is onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our Twitter name is OUAT Podcast. We are on Facebook at facebook.com/OUAT Podcast. Our email address is feedback@onceuponatimepodcast.com. And the address to our forum is forum.onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our blog web address is aclosereloukouat.roniezone.com, and our voicemail line phone number is 657-333-0626. Thank you for listening, connecting, and interacting with us.
Everybody, welcome to another episode of Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast. We are on a brand new computer, and it's different.
Yes, it is.
So, I don't know what else to say.
Does it seem like I'm quieter than I was before?
Well, I turned your mic up a little bit, so we're going to have to kind of work on the levels and...
Sorry, folks.
And all that. So, but it's... You know, new is good, but new is different, and that's what we've got. So,
kind of has a better quality, though.
Well,
seems like to me. I don't know. Maybe I'm just hearing things, but so it seems like to me.
Okay. So anyway, that's it's exciting and different and new, and that's all we have. So,
yes. And but, who are you?
My name is Jeff Roni, and. And yeah, and you are?
Colleen Roni.
And I did want to talk about one thing. I'm going to try. Are you okay?
I'm fine.
Okay.
Go ahead. I'm listening.
Okay, that was a little loud.
So. Sorry. Who, me or you?
You.
Sorry.
So there are a lot of Once Upon a Time podcasts.
Yes.
We are one of them.
We are indeed.
We are different.
We are indeed.
Sometimes I think people listen and they want something different and they don't email me. They leave an iTunes review because we're different.
Mm-hmm.
And we're different. I want to say that because sometimes when you listen to other shows, you hear certain things in a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And we are different.
Right.
So... That's just kind of the way it is. We decided a long time ago to have different participants.
Mm-hmm.
Now, sometimes the hosts are the only talking people.
Yes.
But we wanted the listeners to be involved as well.
That's true.
So that's why we made a decision long time ago to include the listeners in the show. So that makes it a different show.
Yes,
so,
it does.
I kind of wanted to remind everybody. Now, the first episode we record is our first thoughts.
Yes.
And that means we, you and I, have an opportunity to just go full rein into the episode and talk about what we noticed, what we thought.
Right. It's our first thoughts, yours and mine.
Right. So then this show is going to be a little bit of our thoughts about things after we've seen it again. We do, you know, we're busy. We got a lot of things going on. We don't have time to kind of watch it over and over.
Right.
But then on this show, we play our voicemails.
Yes.
And we comment and give our ideas about the voicemails. The live show that normally we do on Saturday... That's when we read the emails, and that's when we interact with folks, and it's a lot of fun, and you never know what's going to happen on those live shows.
That is true.
So, I just kind of wanted to make a distinction about our show in general, and then the episodes that we have. So,
yep.
Now we have it on record.
Yes, we do.
So you are knitting again.
I'm still knitting. It's the blanket. It's gonna be a 4 foot long blanket, and it's only like 6 inches right now.
Okay.
So cool. I've got a ways to go.
So yeah, this is really this is different, and I'm using an old program that I bought years ago, the mm-hmm. old Adobe Audition 1.5.
Oh, nice.
So it is working, and I need a little tutorial, a little help here and there, I think, to learn how to do the effects properly and all that, and edit and all this kind of stuff. So anyway, we'll get through this, but this is definitely going to be different. So I made a promise. So here is the promise.
Okay.
Here we go.
Okay.
It's coming. Can you hear it?
I'm sorry, Ruby, but look, it's fine.
Ruby.
Just for you, Tyler. Well, and me. Ruby Watch forever.
Ruby Watch 2012.
Even though Ruby's a wolf.
She is indeed.
Maybe in Storybrooke too. We still love Ruby. And I do, again, want to give a little shout out to Megan for leaving a great voicemail for the show. Yes. We really, really, really appreciate it.
That was pretty awesome.
Yeah. Yep. And we loved the episode. It was so good. I mean,
it really was.
Even watching it again, it was just to see the range that Megan had.
Oh,
you know, and,
my gosh.
And just like I'd mentioned before, you know, some people said, oh, she just laughs and walks around and all this kind of stuff. But I knew that they were holding her back for her great episode.
Yep.
And just the scene of Snow and Red in the end when Snow was taking her away.
Mm-hmm.
That was great.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean.
Oh, my gosh. That was Sally Fieldgood.
Right? Even though it was really, really good.
It really was.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about. The funeral scene in Steel Magnolias. That was Sally Field. No, classic Sally Field. It was amazing.
Yep.
But no, I mean, it was heart-wrenching.
Mm-hmm.
Heart-wrenching watching her realize who she was and then realizing she had to be taken away. That was just, oh, my gosh.
My three favorite Megan Ori scenes were the Snow and Red leaving, the Ruby finding the heart,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and the Ruby and Granny kind of coming back together.
Oh, at the cafe at the end.
Just out of the ballpark. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, and it was fun kind of seeing her on the phone and being kind of a classic Ruby,
mm-hmm.
but just to see her kind of discover her, who she was and what she could do was really, really neat. So
yeah, it was.
Anyway, I'm skipping around, but
it's okay.
See,
skip.
There's a thought going around, and I think it too. Well, thought it is, you know, does Ruby have the ability to turn into a wolf? Now, let's talk about all the different sides. I know that there was a howl that we heard outside of mm-hmm. Granny's diner at the beginning of the episode.
Yep.
And when we cut in, we saw Ruby inside.
Yeah.
Now, we also know, besides what Mr. Gold says, that there were a number of wolves in Storybrooke.
Yes.
Now, unless the special effects department forgot to do the red eye, black eye in the other wolf that we saw in the pilot,
mm-hmm.
there are two wolves. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think that it is in the realm of possibility that the wolf that had the one red eye and one black eye could be Ruby.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you why. It's because when Granny was telling the story, she said the wolf had eyes as black as whatever.
So black they didn't even look like they were there or something like
right.
that.
And Ruby, obviously, is known by Red. and the cloak and all that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So I think it's possible that that could be Ruby. And also the Huntsman and Graham have this great connection to, wait for it, wolves. Okay. So it is possible that maybe Ruby, as a wolf, having this connection with Graham and the Huntsman, wanted to help. Possibly.
Yeah, okay. It's possible.
So, and we know, you know, that wolves can smell things and track and all this, and that maybe Ruby wanted to help Graham find, you know, the secret. Okay.
Yeah, it's possible.
So anyway, I wanted to point that out. Here's a question. What's the connection between the last episode of Once Upon a Time and this episode? Did you notice it?
It obviously wasn't glaring at me, but I'm sure when you say it, I'm going to be like, oh, yeah, totally. Let's see. Between Dreamy and this one?
Yep. Yep. When I say it, you'll do a face palms. Oh, of course.
I can't think.
It was eggs.
Oh, you're right.
Yep.
Oh.
And another kind of funny thing is there was a wolf in the hen house.
Yes.
So I mean, it's kind of another funny
thing. That is true.
So.
And it was very, I thought it was very cute. This is not related, but it just made me think of that is when Mary Margaret, well, when Snow White was coming out from behind the chicken coop thing, and she goes, are you stealing our eggs? Well, not a lot.
Right.
I thought that was really cute.
Yeah. You know, and we, I think sometimes people forget that a character is all the above, and sometimes if you focus on one thing, like, you know, like Ruby's laugh or, you know, Ginny's this or whatever, you kind of think, wow, it's, you know, she's just that. But, you know, the cute Ginny's funny, but there's a lot more there. And, it's fun to see cute Ginny every once in a while. 'Cause we've seen sad Ginny.
Yeah. That's
you know
true.
What I mean? And it was nice to see kind of fun Ginny. Mm-hmm. Before the whole David thing kind of fell apart.
Yes.
So, like 7:15, Jenny, that was kind of fun. So, okay. So, Mary, Margaret, mentioned that she heard howling.
Yes.
Do you suppose that it was howling in the house? Or maybe that she got out?
That she got out.
Okay.
You're talking about Mary, you mean Snow White.
Right. Frosty.
Which is also pretty freaking hilarious. But anyway. Yeah,
Frosty the Snow White.
Frosty the Snow White.
Okay. So, you okay? There's a little soda there.
I'm a little, I know. I'm a little congested.
I have some water.
I know. It doesn't help.
There's a little dust off. All right.
No. now you're making me all congested again.
Well, I have that effect on women.
Do I think that the howling she heard was in the house? Nope. I think it was outside. Who do you think killed those men?
So if that's the case, then how did Red get out?
I would say there's probably a window in the bedroom.
Okay, so this wolf that she turned into ripped the window off the hinge and jumped out.
Not necessarily.
Okay. So, I mean, there's a couple of questions I had. is number one, okay, Granny was watching the front door.
Right.
I kind of got
but
that.
But did she fall asleep, maybe?
Well, okay. But there was no lock or any kind of, you know, large wooden thing that would lock the door into Ruby's or Red's room.
No.
So you see what I'm saying?
Right.
I mean,
but she, Granny
can
told,
a wolf open the door?
No. Know. But Granny said... wear your cape.
Right.
Or your cloak. She didn't wear it, obviously, because who else killed the men?
True.
So Red had to have gotten out somehow. And maybe she got out before she turned into a wolf. Do you know what I'm saying?
All right. Okay. I just, you know, just thinking the window would have had to been ripped off the hinge, and then you would have had this.
Did she bolt the windows in her bedroom? Did she?
Well,
bolt
yeah. The, well,
did she?
All right.
Did you okay. see her do that?
I don't know, Megan. Did you? Could you call in and tell us if you did? That's all right. Anyhow, so, and another question I have is there more than one wolf? Now, we know there's Wolves Time, mm-hmm. okay? And we don't know, possibly it's a full moon to the full moon or something.
Typically,
there's some
yes.
type of time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't know exactly. You know, and maybe it was this kind of thought of, it's just, it starts when it starts and it ends when it ends, and we really don't know when, you know.
Well, so. Here's the funny thing. I don't know if you picked up on this, but I did. So she said that when Granny was explaining to Snow how Red became the wolf or how it all started, she mentioned that her mother, she was says her mother had it, and I'd hoped she wouldn't pass it on, but it started when she was 13.
Right.
What typically happens to a girl at age 13?
You explain.
Do I need to go into that? I
no.
think most people know.
No.
So what the theory is that it started at age 13, and because Granny was going through menopause, that's why it's starting to fade. So Wolf's Time.
This show just took a turn.
Look, we're all adults, right? All right.
Well. Kids, cover your ears. Yeah, okay. All right. And that was another question
I had. I'm just saying it's coincidental.
It's awfully coincidental
that it started at 13 and Granny, who's menopausal,
okay,
is starting to lose it.
So, and I wondered.
But still has her hearing.
Right.
Or sense of smell.
Yeah.
So.
And that was another thing I was wondering about is what parts can fade?
Well, I think all of it can.
Okay. Obviously, the grandfather. It did not.
No. Well, he was killed by...
But I'm just telling
right.
you.
Right. And, yeah.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So...
There was confusion. I think there was confusion about how that whole thing genealogically fell into place.
Okay.
So, Granny was a young girl. She was a little girl. She fell off the roof when her brothers and her father were killed by Red's grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
She said that was Red's grandfather. He marked her at that point in time, but then he let her live. He went away somewhere. She grew up. He came back and turned her.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point in time, whether they got married or not, they had Red's mother.
Okay.
Red's mother gave birth to her.
Okay.
And she, in turn, then passed that on to Red genetically.
Yep.
And then at some point in time, she died at the hands of a hunting party. So Red may have been a little tiny girl, a little baby. We don't know. So that's how Red got it.
All right.
So Red's grandfather actually killed Red's grandfather killed her great-grandfather and great-uncles.
I kind of want to know what marking and turning is, and then there's other... I don't know. I don't want to know.
It's well, okay. And I thought about that, too, because I was thinking about, you know, if they even remotely got close to following, like, Twilight and stuff. Am I talking too loud?
No, it's fine. Oh.
If they remotely got even close to using some of the pieces of, like, Twilight or werewolf legend, marking might be like how wolves, I think, when they, if I remember right, wolves mate for life. So when they mark each other... I'm not going to go there crazy, but in like Twilight, the werewolves, they imprint on another wolf.
Okay.
And that doesn't mean anything. That doesn't mean what you think it means. It's
ABC,
not...
ABC, you wrote this show. So just understand.
ABC didn't write the show.
But they approved it.
I don't care. Right. What I'm saying is in Twilight, when they imprint, a wolf imprints on another person or their mate, they don't... I don't know what is involved. All I didn't read the books, but I'm telling you, it was not that because Jacob imprints on Bella and Edward's daughter when she's a baby. So it's not dirty.
All right, then. Very good.
Dirty old man.
Twilight. All right. Good.
So I'm just saying that's what I'm thinking that's what marking is. Now, turning would probably mean he bit her.
Okay.
And didn't kill her.
So it's kind of like choosing a vampire time. Chooses,
kind of, yeah,
and then comes back and bites the neck and
possibly,
whatever.
Yeah.
So all yeah. right. So that's
what I'm thinking. I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just saying that's what I'm thinking okay. based on what I've heard, right. based on what I know.
Plenty of time for our listeners to send in an email and explain it all for us.
Yeah, some of you could probably back me up on some of what I'm saying here. That'd yeah. be really awesome.
So anyhow, what did you notice? If something was really different, and we've seen it over time, but I noticed something really distinct about Emma this time. Did you?
Well, she did look at Henry and give him a funny look when Mary Margaret was talking about David like he was another person. She looked at Henry, and Henry looked at her like, see, told ya.
Yeah.
But that's the thing I noticed.
Right. Well, Emma was in all black.
Mm. Okay.
So we've seen her, because to me, I think that red is the color of the Savior, standing out, maybe danger to the dark curse, you know, that.
Mm-hmm.
And then as time goes on, the more she's acclimated into society and Storybrooke, the more she kind of loses what stood out and what she really stood for. And now she's all in all black. And she just kind of
yeah, she
part
is.
Of it now, right? And, you know, I know that Manny could probably talk to this a bit, but it's, you know, in this trek of being a hero, you know, there are these points where you have to make a decision, you know, do I want to kind of blend in or do I want to stand out? You know, and blending in, you just kind of stop being what you're supposed to be. Or when you stand out, that's when you're a threat and that's when people don't like you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people don't like what's different. People don't like when you go against the grain or you represent something that's not the same. So, you know, I think Emma is going to have to battle that pretty quick, you know, because she's taking care of the town and she may be forgetting about her destiny, you know, whether she believes it or not. She's going to have to come to grips with it. So that's what I noticed.
Yeah. No, that's interesting. You know what else I noticed about this episode?
What?
August is a big fat liar.
Well, okay.
He's a big fat liar for two things. First of all, because he said to Ruby, he was talking to her about lemurs and being in Nepal. Lemurs don't live in Nepal. Lemurs live in Madagascar. And at first when I saw that, I'm like, oh, maybe I'm just imagining things. Maybe I just don't know and I need to look it up. Lemurs don't live in Nepal.
Okay.
So he lied to her.
Right.
Now, whether he lied out of ignorance or whether he lied out of purpose, I don't know. But if he lied out of purpose, that makes him a double big fat liar because he told Emma he didn't tell lies.
Right.
So, therefore,
those men are just liars.
Are you following with me on this?
Yes.
Do you know where I'm going with this? Right. I think he could be Pinocchio. And again, it supports my theory that I had before where Pinocchio ended up in the tree with Emma. And he's a 7-year-old boy who found her because he's about 35, right? When you say he looks like he's about that, mid-30s. If that's the case, that would make him 7 years older than Emma. Okay. That would make him, of course, the guy. I'm telling you, that's what's going on.
Okay.
I'm just all convinced right. that's my theory. Right. It's my theory. It's my theory.
Okay.
And
okay,
so, Anne. I think he's Pinocchio. I think he's Pinocchio all grown up. And the reason why he can come and go in and out of Storybrooke, because he's outside the curse.
Right.
Just like Emma is. And either he does know who he is, and that's why he's helping with what's going on, or he doesn't, but he's trying to figure out what's going on. He feels drawn to the town. That's just what I want to point out.
Okay.
So that's my theory. Thank you.
Excellent.
Thank you. Thank you.
So I loved Emma's little line there. It said, buses out of town don't just happen. So, well, she ain't kidding.
That is true.
Buses out of town. You can try and get a bus out of town. So one of the things I like, and I know we're kind of taking a lot of time, and it's probably going to be a longer show than most, but I loved how, see, the transformation into a werewolf, right? Let's just stick to that. Mm-hmm. Has always been a mystical thing. In the old black and white Universal film, you know, it took days and days and they'd fade in and out and they'd have all this kind of tricks and stuff. And But then in American Werewolf in London, they really went far ahead and they actually showed you in real time, pretty much, you know, this transformation happened with little, and little bellows and little things and make just, you know, the head kind of grow and all this. And, you know, and then the whole Thriller video went even farther
right.
with that. So, because the same people that did the effects did Thriller.
Okay.
But they went around the transformation by showing the tracks. You know, some may feel, well, they kind of cheated it. But I think it worked.
It added to the mystery.
Yeah, I think it worked fine. So, well, kudos to you.
And again, I'm going to stand by what I said before. I really did believe that it was Granny that was the werewolf. I didn't think it was Red because I thought that was almost too obvious for it to be her. And I thought for sure it would end up being Granny because, well, she just knew so much about the wolves and stuff. And I thought, well, how would she know unless she knew firsthand?
Yeah.
She kind of did. And technically she was a werewolf, but she was not the werewolf they were the werewolf they were trying to track. So, but I did like that they, you know, left a lot to the imagination because they didn't show her transforming.
And it was probably...
They did show sort of her transformation back, which was kind of cool. Way they did that.
But it was probably the most beautiful forest.
Mm-hmm.
And two of the most beautiful ladies tracking this... Yes. This wolf. Yes. But it was just gorgeously filmed and it was just so pretty. So anyway.
It really was.
Kudos again to Vancouver, Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Just is great. So Dr. Whale, lech that
is
he
a
is.
Lech. Yeah. Which we kind of knew.
Well, possibly.
I'm still standing by my theory that he could be Monstro.
Well, that I've thought that too, and I've been shot down because I thought he was a wolf, and I'll just have a long line of things I think he is. So we'll just kind of go down the list
until we figure out what he is.
I think he's Pinocchio. I think he's not Pinocchio. Know, whatever. So I think he's a Cheshire Cat. You know, we'll just kind of go down this list.
Well, that's possible.
So he was saying that people in a sleep state can cook, talk, and drive a car.
Okay.
I just want to just throw that out there.
Well, yeah, because that does sound like, what is it? Insomnia?
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
What's sleepwalking?
Sleepwalking.
But there, I thought there was a word for it that I'm forgetting.
Yeah. Kind of silly. I'm thinking about sleepwalking and stepbrothers. Anyway, I need to stay on topic. Stay on topic, Jeff. Stay on topic.
Yes.
Okay. So the cloak, when they put the red cloak over... The wolf that became Red had a mysterious wave that looked almost exactly like when Prince Charming kissed Snow White and broke the curse. Now, there's two schools of thought about how Red became the wolf. Some say it's a curse. Some say it's not. And depending on how much you read about the whole werewolf phenomenon is... You know, see, I'm used to old black and white movie when the old woman said, you know, I put a curse on you, you know, and
the
that
gypsy woman,
the gypsy. I didn't want to say, but anyway, sorry. Yes, in the movie. Yes, yes. But, you know, that was a curse. And that's why he turned into a wolf. But there's other schools of thought now about how it happens. And, you know, and it probably has a little bit to do with like a zombie, like some type of a. Bite or something. So, but anyway, I just thought it was interesting that this wave kind of went over and transformed her back or removed that wolf part from her.
I'll go one step further with this and say, actually, you know what it reminded me of? Was the transformation of the beast back into the prince in Beauty and the Beast.
Okay. Yep.
At the end of the movie, when the cloak wrapped itself around him, because it was a red cloak.
That's great. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it kind of had that same shimmery thing of sorts.
Excellent. So then, for a second I thought that Snow and Red were both on the run. But I think once Red left the area, I think Granny made a story up.
Yep.
Said, well, the wolf is gone.
I killed the wolf.
I don't know where it went. you know, or something.
I think she's going to say that Peter was the wolf because he's dead now.
Okay, yeah.
So she's going to blame him, make him be the wolf. Because then, you know, she'll just keep Red safe and Red will never do it again. Because we know somehow Red either gets cured or she keeps it under control because she ends up with Green in the war room.
Right, right.
Yep. So, plus she's always wearing the cloak because she's worn the cloak when Mary Margaret, or when Snow White is hiding in the cabin
mm-hmm.
before she takes the potion.
Yep. Excellent, excellent.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're going to move on to, and you're going to take a little sippy sip, and we're going to play voicemails.
Yay!
I hope the levels are good.
Me too.
I tried to work on them. And here is our first voicemail.
Okay. Hi, this is Holly Mom from Twitter. I follow you, Jeff and Colleen here on the podcast. And I'm a huge Once Upon a Time fan, as all my friends on Twitter know. I just wanted to say what a blessing it has been to listen to your podcast, to be a part of that community, to be a part of something bigger like Once Upon a Time, to all my Oncer angels, hey, that I've met and now I consider my friends. I think it's great that the cast, especially Team 7, they interact so much with their fans. I mean, how many other shows do that? The whole cast actually does, but I know for myself and for the other Once or Angels, which, Colleen, you are one, that they are so great about talking. Faustino and Gabe and Lee and Mig, I mean, they're just so great, and all of them are great, and I just love the show, and I love this podcast, and I love to be a part of it, and I'm working hard to be able to interact with this podcast. I'm trying the best I can. I'm having a lot of problems, but I am there, and if I don't respond, I am trying to listen or will listen, and I just wanted to give a shout-out to you guys and tell you that this has just been wonderful for this mom who is shut in all week and doesn't really get to interact with other people. So this has just been wonderful, and I just wanted to tell you guys what you really mean to me and the show and all my friends. So that's all I wanted to say. Bye.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, Holly Mom.
You know, and you know, again, you know, sometimes people kind of get hooked on, well, the podcast. I've said this from almost the beginning. This is more than a podcast,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I think the community is a great, big, huge part of it.
Well, it is.
It is so neat to see the everyone's kind of, you know, talking and getting to know each other on Twitter and communicating. And then somebody new pops up and everybody starts to talk to them. And it's just so incredible to watch that happen. So I have to thank everybody, you know, Holly Mom and everybody else for being so kind to not only us and each other, but the new people that kind of, because mm-hmm. I've seen new folks that joined us last Saturday.
Right.
And they're kind of talking, you know, to the new folks. And I got to tell you, you know, it, as hard as we work, I know you guys work just as hard.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all worth it because we're all working for the same goal. And just really neat.
I don't think I've ever seen a community of people rally around each other and support each other who've never met before, you know, 6 months ago.
Yeah.
Not even that. Yeah. It hasn't even been 6 months yet. Can you believe that?
Yep.
And within that time frame, you know, I've seen people's friendships, you know, pop up and I see them talking to each other. And people will ask us questions about what's going on with this, what's going on with that. And if I don't have a chance to answer right away, I'm seeing other people pop in and go, oh, it's this, da, da, mm-hmm. and they're, oh, thanks. Hey, what are you doing? Oh, how are you doing? You know, it's fantastic. I love the interactions, excuse me, that I have with these folks on Twitter because, you know, it's like having a whole bunch of friends I can chat with and we have something in common and we talk about. And then we get to know each other outside of Once Upon a Time. And there's some cool people we interact with That's all I'm going to say. It's just some really amazing people that we would interact with. Really sweet, wonderful people. So
yeah,
I would probably be just lost without the folks that we interact with on Twitter.
Well, and I don't want to start naming names, but you know, my focus kind of, it can't be everywhere, but I got to tell you, you know, the blog comments, you know, and the Twitter and the forums and all that, you know, it is so neat that people kind of jump in and do it. And mm-hmm. I know that everyone kind of feels like, oh, the internet is kind of cutting people off and they're not, they don't reach out anymore. I've seen more reaching out and more connecting, you know.
Yeah.
It's just incredible. So I need to say that I thank you guys,
mm-hmm.
you Holly Mom, and you everyone that's in the community. I felt such, you know, love and kindness come to us, and I thank you for that. Mm-hmm. But I've seen it spread out,
right? Not just
to everybody else, you know. And you can't buy that, you know. And that's really, I think, one of the core parts of this show mm-hmm. and this community is
definitely
just
true.
You know, we give out love, and when you give it out, it comes back to you
tenfold.
You know, and so I want to thank you for that, because that's gold. I can talk an hour with them, but anyway, thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Holly Mom, for the voicemail. But I want to thank everybody for reaching out and sending out love, not only to the cast but to each other. Mm-hmm. Just fantastic.
Keep it up.
Here's the next voicemail.
Okay.
Hi, Jeff and Colleen. This is Janelle. I'm calling from Dayton, Ohio. I unfortunately do not have a computer, so I can't follow you on Twitter or be in the chat for the live show. But I do have an Android phone, and I will be listening to the live show. I always do. I've listened to you guys since the very first show you did. And I'm constantly checking on the blog. This is how I keep up. This is what I do. It's something that... just to help me unwind. The show is great, and Once Upon a Time is great, and you are the only podcast I follow. As far as Once Upon a Time, I am part of the Harry Potter fandom too, and some of my fellow Potterheads are going Once Upon a Time, and I have made sure I let them know about your podcast. So if you ever, by chance, see Twin Mom X2, pop up, because I'm a mother of two sets of twins, that, or Jesse Janelle, that's me. I do follow you on Facebook. So just keep up the good work, and hopefully one of these days I can get a computer and get on Twitter with you guys. All right, thank you. Bye.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Janelle. That's awesome. Okay, for starters, mm-hmm. having limited access or whatever and still being able to follow us, that's amazing. That's awesome. Yeah. We love that.
Yeah.
So thank you for that. And then secondly, wow, two sets of twins.
Yeah.
That's unusual, but that's awesome. And I'm sure keeps you pretty busy too. So.
There's so many amazing things through this journey.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you, getting these really fantastic voicemails from these moms with these little babies.
Mm-hmm.
It is so cool. Mm-hmm. That, you know, Janelle said it helps her unwind. And, you know, we had a mom, I think a week or two ago
mm-hmm.
that, you know, she listened, you know, when she was at home. It's really, you never know who's right. listening. You never know where it's going to go.
Right.
And I'm so thrilled to find, you know, these really, really cool, neat people. That anyway, so thank you for that. And
yeah,
you know, it is, you know, this whole idea about sending things to phones and smartphones that you can listen and all that. There's a cool guy from I believe it's Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, can I listen on my iPhone to the live show? You know what I mean? And some people don't have a computer.
Right.
And so there's all these different options that people can have to stay connected. It's really, it's amazing. So, wow. You know, it's just the longer we go, the more incredible it gets. And just, you know, the show kind of seeps in and goes here and goes there, and it's really incredible.
It is.
So
that's so true.
Here is the next voicemail.
Great.
Hi, Colin and Jeff. It's Karen from Maryland, except today I'm in Virginia. I don't know if I'll be able to make it into the chat tonight, but I wanted to wave to all my new friends. I have popcorn and hot chocolate for everybody. Have a good time. Bye.
That's really sweet. Hi,
Karen.
Sweet.
Hey, Karen.
Thank you so much for calling in.
And she's traveling. That's pretty awesome.
And she's got hot chocolate.
Hot chocolate and popcorn for everybody.
Yes.
Yay. Virtual hot chocolate and popcorn.
That's a once upon a time drink.
It is indeed.
Hot chocolate with a little cinnamon on the on the top. All right. So here is the next voicemail.
Hey, guys. This is Dave from Michigan. I'm just calling after watching the Red-Handed episode. That has to be probably, I think that was my favorite episode. I absolutely love this episode. I thought that was really well done. I loved the way that they did the story with Ruby and her being the wolf. I thought that was awesome. And just a side note for Jeff, I think that Ruby actually looked a lot prettier towards the end of the episode when she started dressing like a normal conservative girl than as her granny, had a granny collar, a drag queen, something about a drag queen. I loved that. I thought she looked a lot prettier at the end of the night than she did at the beginning. But a couple of theories that came out of this, the heart they found in the heart box, I'm pretty sure it came from the fairy tale land. And I'm betting that the fingerprints came from that time period too. David not remembering things could be split personality disorder because he's both David and James. And I'm trying to think if there's anything else. I don't believe so. I think that was it for now. I'm going to watch it again probably in a few days, and I'll hopefully call back in time for the show with another voicemail. But I enjoyed it. I hope you guys did, too. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you, Dave.
Thanks, Dave.
And yes, you are right. Megan looks good, conservative or not.
She always looks... I always thought she looked prettiest in her fairy tale world get-ups.
Well, And I got to tell you, even from, I think it was an interview we heard, or maybe it was at the Paley Center, they said it was fairy tale couture.
Yes.
And it wasn't, they said they didn't want bad Ren Faire, but they wanted it, you know, very stylish.
Mm-hmm.
And even the, I got to keep my guy car, but I got to be honest, it was really, the hood that she was wearing had the most incredible design.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was kind of like a paisley?
Kind not of a so swirly thing? Scroll work. Scroll okay. More than that. Right. Paisley is very distinct.
I keep my guy card because I don't know what that was.
Yes, you can.
But it was really, it was the design was really
paisley
cool.
Paisley looks like amoebas.
Okay. Well, all right.
That's fair what enough. I've always said.
Fair anyway. Enough. So, I think the next two voicemails are from an incredible graphic designer. Now, Mark Davis... Big love to Mark Davis.
Yes.
That guy, something else. I mean, you know, because I said, what, it'd be incredible for you to do a Star Wars influenced Once Upon a Time thing. And it was a couple of hours later, maybe a half a day or a day. He sent this thing back. He goes, nah, this is what I came up with not too long. And I looked, it blew me away. And we made a blog post out of it. My voice is cracking. I'm so excited about it.
Yes.
And
it was beautiful.
But
it was amazing.
Julia made a really incredible one for Ruby. And so anyway, she wanted to call in and do her a brief recap. And then also it's just some thoughts, too. So
okay.
Here it is.
Cool.
Hello, this is, hey everyone, it's Juliet Strassner. I'm from Alberta, Canada, and I am here to do a small little recap for the podcast on the site Once Upon a Time Fans Podcast. I am also from the Once Upon a Time Fans Facebook webpage as well. I'm one of the staff there. I do screen capping for the episodes and some projects that have to do with this amazing show. Kudos to Adam and Eddie, of course. Anyhow, so I'm here to do a small little recap of Red Handed. It was the episode that played tonight on Once Upon a Time, and it was centering around Megan Ori's episode and her characters Red Riding Hood and Ruby, her storybook alter ego. Anyhow, there are some things that I did catch in this intense but amazing episode, like The Wishing Well. That looks very familiar. It's one that Snow White and Red Riding Hood went to get some water, but there's some blood in there. Hope everybody caught that. Anyhow, that wall does look really familiar. In fact, hasn't August Booth and Sheriff Emma Swan been to that wall before? I believe they had a few episodes back. Trying to jog my memory here. Sorry. So, if you recognize that well, you would see that even that well is in Storybrook as well. You know, the next thing I assumed, this is just a little speculation, is it was Granny's place, or where both her and Red Riding Hood were living. And doesn't that seem like a place that we saw in the 7:15 a.m. episode where Snow was resting in? Like, the bed looked familiar, like, in both episodes. It was the drapes from above, and it looked really familiar. It's like I had seen that bed before.
Okay, and we'll play the next one, because she called back.
Oh, okay.
Here we go.
Hello, everyone. This is Juliet Strathmore. I'm from Alberta, Canada. Anyhow, I also work on this amazing website. It's called onceuponatime.co.uk, run by these amazing admins, Gareth, Cindy, Laura, and we have other staffers like Diane, Amy, and Christy, and we have a lot of people working and talented artists. Anyhow, I'm the screen capper girl there. That's my position. And here I am to do a short recap of Once Upon a Time's Red Handed episode for the podcast site. So it was delving into Megan's character's past. Ruby, also known as Red Riding Hood. Well, we all know that she's a little girl who runs into the big bad wolf, but the biggest, intense, but amazing shock in this episode was that Red was actually the big bad wolf all along. What a big shock that had been. I'm still scared. Really, I am. Anyhow, it was really sad also having accidentally killed her true love. But the biggest catcher is the wishing well. Where have we seen that before? Has Emma Swan and August Booth drank from that before? Red Riding Hood and Snow White did stumble upon it. Looks familiar, doesn't it? All right, have a good night, Lancers, and happy Sunday, and happy St. Patrick's Day coming up soon. See ya. Adios. Bye.
Thanks so much.
Thanks,
and,
Julia.
And she did call back. And so anyway, kind of restated it, but I wanted to at least get everything down because sometimes you don't know when the call's going to cut off. So anyway, thank you so much for calling. Yeah. And go ahead.
I was going to say, I agree. I do think that that's the same well that Emma and August Booth drank from.
Yep.
So, and yeah, and it was a shock. I was floored because, again, I thought it was going to be Granny that was the werewolf. And technically she was, but she wasn't the one they were after.
We're kind of used to... now this is the second time that a human has been an animal slash insect. Yep. You know, so this is, again, we see this type of thing.
A human slash non-human character?
Right, mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. So... You know, initially it was kind of like, oh, well, Jiminy Cricket is just that. And we're not going to see that again. Like, well, we see it again. So mm-hmm. possibly.
Don't be surprised.
Possibly Dr. You know, Whale could be. Monstro? Possibly. I don't know.
I think carrot anyway. Eating guy is going to turn out to be the White Rabbit. Well, I still think that.
But I've heard folks say that he's Jack Sprat.
Yeah, I could see where they would get that, but I'm telling you, he was eating a carrot, and it just seemed... It wouldn't be far-fetched of them to make him the White Rabbit, because the White Rabbit talked, too, by the way.
Right. I have to say this before we move on, is Gareth and the rest of mm-hmm. the admins and Julia have mm-hmm. one heck of a fantastic fan site. Mm-hmm. It's the Once Upon a Time fans. Okay.
Yeah.
And we will put a link up to that site, and you, hopefully, you've already visited there.
Yeah.
Because he's got a great staff of folks that keep it updated all the time. And Gareth, I've said it before. I remember when that site was almost brand new. It must have been a week or two old, maybe. And it was when I was kind of putting things together to get the blog or the blog and podcast mm-hmm. started. Mm-hmm. And he's just a great guy. And so they've got a timeline over there and they've got all kinds of things going on. So
yes.
Go visit Gareth's great site. Tell him I said hi and send him some big love from us because, you know, it's just really neat to have that type of... connection with great sites like that. So mm-hmm. here is the next voicemail.
Hey, everyone. It's Tyler from Seattle. Tuesday's picture video update is going to be amazing for you. But just watched Red Handed and holy criminy. I never knew Granny could be such a complete awesome character. I'll describe her as being like a superhero for awesomeness. Like that scene where they're locking up the building and then she just like gets that crossbow and is sitting in the chair had me cracking up and thinking, wow, this is amazing. And I just want to bring up that there's also the Red Riding Hood movie that came out last year or something like that. That starred the girl from Mamma Mia playing Red, and there were some similar storyline stuff where the wolf was the werewolf, but I'm not positive. It's been a while since I watched that movie. I can't remember who it was found out was the wolf in the movie, but I noticed some very similar things there. But otherwise, that episode just had going, oh my goodness, oh my goodness. I was a little sad to see the red streaks in Ruby's hair gone at the end of the episode, though. But I'm so happy we got to see Ruby's full-on episode. And, someone posted some spoilery links on Twitter, and I made the mistake of clicking, but looks like we might have some very fun characters in the upcoming episodes before the end of the season, and I can't think of exactly how many that is, but I can't wait to see them. So just thought I'd mention that, and can't wait to see the next episode, And I'll talk to you all later. Bye.
Thanks so much, Tyler.
Thanks, Tyler.
And Tyler has been posting videos of his creation. And it is something. Initially, I thought it was a small little thing. It's a full-blown deal.
Oh, it is. It's Man. Amazing. It's amazing.
So
yes, the Red Riding Hood moving with Amanda Seyfried from Mamma Mia. I'm not going to tell you who the werewolf was. But okay. There were definite similarities. I know what he's talking about exactly. There were definite similarities. So, yeah, it's a great movie. I actually really liked it a lot.
Cool. And here is our next voicemail.
Hey, Jeff. Hey, Colleen. It's Shannon from Napa. Hey, listen, I just wanted to call you guys and give you a couple things that I really enjoyed about tonight. Sunday night, like 10 minutes of mine, but you guys are probably recording or just recording feedback right now. But anyway, so I just wanted to shout out a couple things that I thought, oh my gosh, because after tonight's episode, it was absolutely fantastic. But my first point was like the wolf. So if I understand correctly, if Red is the wolf now, what's the chances of her being the wolf in the pilot? So, because remember, we saw the wolf there. Two, and if she is the wolf, that would explain the wolf figurine that we saw back in, I believe, episode 4. And let's see. And I was just curious what you guys thought about Mary Margaret and her name, the fact that she used that also in Fairy Tale Land. So anyway, tonight's was absolutely fantastic, and it's just getting better and better, and we will be discussing it later this week. So hope you guys are doing well, and we'll talk to you soon. All right. Bye.
Thank you, Shannon.
Thanks, Shannon. Ruby as the wolf in the pilot. It's a possibility, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
She looks that wolf was a little lighter in gray color, but maybe that's, you know. Ooh. Here's a thought. If it's not Ruby, what if it's Granny?
Oh, it's interesting.
You know what I mean? Because the wolf that Ruby turned into was very dark, mm-hmm. which is why she has the dark hair. But Granny was very light gray. And that wolf in the pilot, if I remember correctly, I could be totally remembering it wrong. But if I remember that, that's mm-hmm. Shannon's thought sparked the thought of, well, what if it's Granny?
Yep. It's great. No. That totally works.
So either one, it'd be interesting to see if it's either one. Yes, the episode was just epic. I thought it was wonderful. It was fantastic.
It was very dark.
Very, very dark.
I liked it because I like dark. Yeah. But it's just the process of going through these episodes now is going to, I think, test some people. So
yeah, because it has to go dark. It has to go dark before it can go light again.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So it'll be a while before we see happy sunshiny stuff, I'm sure.
But Shannon brought up a good point about the name.
Yes. 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 I thought that was interesting too.
So, you know, did they choose their name? Did the name come from something they said, or was it kind of a mishmash of, did it just kind of pulls one thing from their life in Fairy Tale Land? Like the most important thing, except for power, to Rumpelstiltskin was gold.
Right.
Gold, Mr. Gold, you know, Archie Hopper, you know what I mean? That kind of a thing. So that's an interesting thought.
Yeah. I wonder if that's just kind of, you know, I mean, who knows how they came up with that or what the intent was.
Yep.
But, you know, is Mary or Margaret, you know, somebody that meant something to Snow White, like her mother or a sister or a nanny or, you know what I mean?
That's grandmother. Great too. Yeah, yeah. It's a great thought.
So, I mean, that's a possibility. That's where she pulled from. Because, I mean, typically, you know, or did she just like the name? I mean, who knows, you know?
Yeah, stay dry in Napa. I understand mm-hmm. right now there's the storms everywhere. So.
Yeah. We're supposed to be getting them this weekend, though.
Yeah.
Super fun.
And then we'll be going to see
Adam and Eddie.
Eddie. See, you called him Eddie now.
Yeah.
Are you going to coffee with Eddie?
Maybe.
All right. Okay.
Maybe.
Sure. Yeah. Sure, absolutely. I can't answer the phone now, but I bet he's calling. Trying to set up some coffee.
Maybe.
Okay, here we go. Next voicemail.
Okay.
Hey, Jeff and Colleen. This is Mason from Oregon. Well, from the rainy state of Oregon. So I just watched the Red Riding Hood episode, which, as you guys said, it was fantastic and quite epic. At first, I thought it was going to go in the direction of Red Riding Hood, the movie, with the blonde girl from Mamma Mia, Amanda Seyfried, or however you pronounce her last name. Anyways, I just thought I'd tell you in one word that, Jeff, you are right. Regina did burn her dad's heart in order to enact the curse. So, Colleen, as much as I'd like to agree with you, husband wins this round. But another theory of mine is that, yes, you guys could be right. Mary Margaret as Snow White could have, handled the heart box, at some point. We'll see in the next episode. That's my theory. So, on the red cloak, I like to think that it wasn't Rumpelstiltskin. So even though he is now, I guess you can say, considered a wizard, but a dark wizard, my guess is Granny could have gotten the red cloak from Merlin, or if they decide to go into the second season, they might get it from Master Yensid from the Sorcerer's Apprentice in Fantasia, since there's a red robe in that. But I like the idea of them combining the Peter and the Wolf tale. I had a feeling that we would see Peter, but we wouldn't see the hunters from that story. And I guess they combined the hunters from that story with the Red Riding Hood into one group of characters is what I'm trying to say. And again, I think that we'll probably see some interesting turns with the curse. We now just learned that Dr. Whale is probably signing up David for therapy with Archie. So there should be some interesting facts in that. I know that I'm probably going to be cut off, so I'm going to call back because I have one last theory.
I think Mason is psychic. He knew it was coming.
I know. That's funny.
Okay. So let's kind of talk a little bit about this, and then we'll play his next one.
Okay.
So, thanks for calling, first of all, Mason.
Yes, thank you.
Really appreciate it.
So, okay. So he's with you on the whole heart-burning thing. Okay.
Well, okay. This is what I think. I think that either we will... Okay. Now, I think that... there is a possibility, it's a huge stretch, that Regina somehow could make herself, somehow she got the prince and put it in a box. Or Snow White killed something and put it in the box, and then Regina switched the heart out and then connected it to Catherine. Now, I'm still not totally convinced that that's Catherine's heart in there.
I don't believe that's Catherine's heart at all.
I'm not on board with that.
I would be really beyond shocked if it was.
Right, right. So, but there is a heart, and it sounds like they sent it out for testing, but then they found Mary Margaret's fingerprints in there, so they're taking her in.
Right, they're going to take her in.
Yeah.
Yes, and what was the other thing you talked about that I thought was really good?
The Peter and the Wolf.
Peter and the Wolf, yeah, that was really good. That was really cool that they blended all that kind of together. Then there was another thing. I know what the thing was. It just blew my mind that I was like, oh my God, I can't believe we didn't think about this. The Sorcerer's Apprentice.
Yeah. Yep.
The Red Cloak. I agree. I don't believe that was Rumpelstiltskin's handiwork, the robe. It was a wizard. And he's, well, granted, I know they're taking license with some of these characters, but Rumpelstiltskin is most frequently referred to as an imp. So,
yeah,
not so much a wizard. He's an imp. But the wizard could be Merlin. That was the first thing I thought of when he said wizard, because I didn't catch that first time we saw it. Then I caught it again tonight, and I'm like, oh, the wizard. Okay, Merlin's the first one that comes to my head. But he's got a really good point that Yensid would be the other option, which is, of course, Disney spelled backwards.
Yep.
And it is Amanda Seyfried from Mamma Mia that was in the Red Riding Hood. And it was, yeah, it was a great movie. So if you haven't seen it, highly recommend it.
Yeah, everybody sings. I don't know. Okay, so here
No, they don't sing.
Okay.
I'm talking Red Riding Hood, not Mamma Mia. Oh, Mamma Mia. I haven't seen Mamma Mia, so I can't recommend it. Okay. So I don't know.
All right. I love Gary Oldman.
He's awesome.
He could read the phone book.
Oh, dude.
And I would listen.
Okay, that's kind of creepy and weird.
No, Gary Oldman's a great actor.
Yeah. Okay, if you'd said James Earl Jones, I could get that, but because he's known for his voice. Gary Oldman's not known for his voice.
All right. I think Gary Oldman's great, though.
He is great. I won't lie to you. He's very great.
He was great as Dracula. All right.
Okay.
Here we go.
Moving on.
Hey, Jeff and Pauline. This is Mason from Oregon calling again in regards to my previous voicemail. My last theory is that when Emma and Ruby found David in the woods, supposedly unconscious, it was reminiscent of the same scene that was played out in, I think it was either the second episode or the third episode that dealt with, it was the third episode where they find David when he leaves the hospital on his own. I looked up, and it is somewhat a common / rare thing that people who've been in a coma for multiple months would kind of lose some mentality functions, like acknowledging what previously happened. And so we just got, I guess you can say we got a soft version of that effect. One of my sisters has a small case of dementia, but she wouldn't like forget things almost right off. Well, she would sort of forget big things right off the bat, but not small things. So I kind of knows the direction they're going in. Not that he's going to have dementia, but they did say that it is possible for them to kind of forget even the smallest or even the most simplest thing. So I would have to agree with David. That's why that when he was mentally unconscious, when he was wandering in the woods, I guess that would explain why it didn't seem like he was lying to Emma. And I do feel bad that it's Snow White's parents who are taking a bad rap for this, or Emma's parents that are taking a bad rap for this. I kind of want to say, no, you're not supposed to arrest your parents, no matter how bad they are, because family's always there for you. And that's what Emma's trying to do. She's trying to be a good friend yet live up to her duties. Anyways, that's my theory for the day, and I'm looking forward to the next episode. That should be quite interesting to see what that twisted potion Snow White drank from Rumpel. Never drink anything that an imp gives you if they make a deal. Have a good day. Bye.
Thanks, Mason.
Yeah. Wow. Dementia is a tough thing to deal with. And, I feel for Mason because that is, it's a tough thing, but it is, it's true that, they do tend to forget little things here and there and it gets progressively worse, and hopefully they don't go that route with him, but maybe they will.
Yeah. Okay.
Maybe they will too, in order to, with David is what I'm saying. Maybe they'll go that route with David because it has to get worse before he can actually remember. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And it is interesting, you know, Mason mentioned about his sister, and we kind of, in the show, it's interesting that we thought he was okay, and then now he starts to kind of show signs of, and it's interesting that we remember, say, oh yeah, he came out of a coma, you know, and we kind of think, oh, well, once he's up out of bed walking around, that he's perfectly fine, so... but yeah, there's little things that can happen. So,
right. Well, and I'm wondering, is Regina maybe somehow messing with him somehow? Do you know what I'm saying? Like slightly poisoning him?
Possibly.
Of sorts?
Possibly.
Do you know?
So I think the one thing I kind of wanted to talk about.
Well, oh, wait. I want to go back to that again real quick. Sorry. Okay. Can we do that?
Sure.
Would that be okay? Okay. So when we were watching it tonight, I looked at it again. I was watching the scene with him wandering in the woods. And the way he looked like, and Mary Margaret even said it, it's like he looked right through me. Like he was someone else. And I went, OMG. What if somehow he is, some part of his brain is remembering that he's James. That he's Prince James looking for Snow White.
Okay.
But it's not quite there yet. It hasn't surfaced. So for him, it's a very weird but gradual, you know, remembering. And then he blacks out and he doesn't remember what happened 5 minutes ago. You know what I mean?
Well, yes. So let's talk about this. You've actually have three different people involved in this thing. Or three different personalities, let's say.
Oh,
right?
Okay.
So you've got the real James,
mm-hmm.
right? Then you have the shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have the David Nolan life, right? So you've got those three, okay? And it is possible that one of the other three
personalities
is starting to kind of
come through.
And
well, and then the other thing was he was wandering in the woods, and I wonder, we've talked about portals. What if he accidentally stumbled kind of across one and it sparked a memory for him?
And that is, and that's been discussed too, in the fan world.
Oh, interesting.
Is that, you know, if there are realms,
mm-hmm.
then there are boundaries.
Sure.
And maybe he stumbled out. Maybe it was a portal, or maybe it was a line that maybe opened his mind up, because what caused him to change from the initial, you know, I love you, I love you, I love you, to I can't be with you, I have to go be with my wife. What changed that? Remember?
Right, yeah.
No. Well, what changed it? Mr. Gold.
Mr.
Gold. Pawn shop.
You're
windmill.
Right. The windmill, yeah. Right.
So, what if he stumbled upon something that triggered a memory from the old country, the fairy tale land?
Yeah.
What if that kind of snapped him out of, because if the windmill locked him into that storybook fake life, what if something else he found snapped him back into that? So, you know, one of the two.
Yeah.
Just a thought. So,
I know it's a good thought. It's a good thought. I like it.
And just one more kind of a funny thing. I know this is a long show. It's going to be probably the longest one ever, and some people won't like it. Sorry. But it is funny to see, you know, parents, when they talk to their kids, you know, say, don't do that. Don't do this. Don't do that. And then you're like, well, did you do that? No, I never did any of that. You know, your father and I, we never kissed. We just got married. And, you know, that's it.
The stork brought you.
Right. But Emma is watching her parents do all kinds of stuff, man. It's just like every mistake you could think of.
Yep.
And, you know, but Mason brings up a, you know, great point. You know, it's just, you know, parents are real. Even though they kind of whitewash the stories here and there.
Yes.
So here is the next voicemail.
Hey, guys. It's Dave in Michigan. I just watched the show for a second time. I thought I'd give you guys a call, tell you what I picked up on. first thing I noticed as I was watching it from the beginning, you notice things that point to the fact that Red is the wolf. So I recommend to anyone who hasn't yet to go back and watch it a second time. It's kind of like watching The Sixth Sense a second time, where you pick up on all the little hints that, oh, duh, I should have got that. The second thing is when Ruby and Granny are fighting in the diner, she doesn't call her Liza like a drag queen. She calls her Eliza. And so I believe that Ruby's real name is Eliza. She just goes by Ruby. A couple of the questions that I had is, does the cloak really work? Because she's always got the cloak on when we see her going into bed and everything, but she still becomes the wolf. Does she take the cloak off because she doesn't like it? Or does the cloak not really work unless she's already the wolf? So that's a question that I was wondering about. The other thing is, it's a stretch, it's a crackpot theory, but is it possible that Bellfire is maybe a relation to them in some way? Perhaps he is Granny's father, or it, maybe even depending on the time between the first and the second Ogre Wars, could he be Granny's husband? Just a thought that I had. Wondered if there would be any connection that we could make there to two different families on the show, because they like to do that. That was pretty much all, but I think this still is my favorite episode, especially after watching it a second time and seeing all the little hints that they drop if you already know. So, all right. See you guys.
Thanks so much. Thanks, for calling. Dude. Now, this is what I heard. I said, I heard Granny say, you're dressed like Liza, a drag queen on Fleet Week. Now, that's what I heard.
That's what I heard, too.
So, anyway.
We'll have to listen to it again, but I do believe that she was actually referring to her as if she was Liza Minnelli, because that's that's a typical drag queen performance.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. So
I'm pretty sure her name is Ruby. I don't think it's Eliza. I think it's Ruby. I think she was referring to her as Liza being a drag queen because she's always so heavily made up.
Yep.
And that's why her makeup became more subdued at the end when she came back, because she remembered that conversation with Granny.
Well, and one of the, I think it was a tweet or a comment or an email probably, it was that they felt that for the first time, Ruby had started to grow up.
Yeah.
And kind of, you know, if she was going to take on, did she know that she was going to take over the diner at first?
She didn't know.
No, but I think once she discovered that she had worth and she could do something, that she said, you know what, I don't need the old way. I'm going to try something different.
And so, remember, anyway. Granny said, "What happened to your adventures with lemurs?"
Right.
And she said,
"That Emma
was my lemur."
Yep.
So. Yep. Which was interesting, because remember, what did he say about lemurs? That at nighttime, their eyes glowed.
They reflected the light. They were glowing.
Exactly. Yep. So Emma, I think, reflected on her, the goodness in her, and the strength of character. And that's what turned her around. And that's why she went back. That's why she's much more subdued, because she doesn't look like she's trying to be trampy. She's trying to change her life.
I think she's a lovely woman. And
I'm not going to deny it. She's a beautiful girl. She's strikingly beautiful. It's kind of crazy.
She's a heck of an actress as well, I must admit, as well.
She is. I'm not going to deny that either. Anyway, the other thing was
Bellfire.
Bellfire. So could Bellfire be...
And the cloak too. So cloak and Bellfire.
Cloak. Okay, so the cloak... Let's go dress the cloak first. Cloak, I think it does work. I think that it does keep her from turning into the wolf, because I think she takes it off at night. And then if the moon is full, I think she becomes the wolf. And I think that... here's where we talked about, you know, this is going to be long. Granny said to her at the beginning, when the men were at the door, she said, why are you even bothering? Just go home. All it did was, it's hungry. It just took a bunch of sheep. It's not going to be any big deal. Just, you know, hide, go lock yourselves in your houses and let it be. So what I think that was she knows she made, and then everyone's like, but she locked all the doors. She did to put on a show for Red, because if she didn't, why would Red feel safe? Right? She wouldn't.
Yeah.
So I think I think Granny lets her out at night so she can feed.
Okay.
That's what I think, cuz all she did was feed on the sheep, and then the stupid hunting party decided to go out and Granny said they're fools cuz they're not wearing red and they're fools.
Well, yeah, you're right. Okay, okay.
You know what I'm saying?
So, wait. So I think maybe Granny opened the window.
Mm-hmm.
Because she did go back to the... Okay, I stand corrected. So anyway, when I said about the ripped off window, sorry, I take it all back. Because the footsteps went back to the window.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously she had to get back in.
Exactly.
She knew. Okay, okay.
Exactly.
So I got it now.
So that's what I'm saying. Okay. I think Granny put on a big fat show for everybody, for Red especially, so that she wouldn't have to tell her she was the wolf. And she figured that since Red was just killing sheep, what's a few sheep? But then when the guys were at the party, and that's why she kept trying to discourage them and insult them into staying in the house.
Right.
Because she knew they weren't going to survive. But right. What she couldn't say anything because then they would kill Red. Right then and there. So, I mean, it's this catch-22. She had to sacrifice these handful of men in order to protect Red, is what I think. But anyway, back to what I was saying is that does a cloak work? Yeah, I think it does work. And I think that she takes it off when she goes to bed because she doesn't think she needs it when she goes to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how she never knew she was the wolf, because that's how the wolf was doing what the wolf was doing.
Yeah.
So that's my take on that. Okay, so Balefire.
I mean, anything's possible.
Well, sure. Of course.
I mean, we didn't think that, you know, Red was going to be the wolf.
Exactly.
Until Sunday.
Exactly.
So, you know, I don't know. I would have a wait and see attitude with Balefire being the grandfather.
But right.
Like I said.
And again, we don't know where we are in the story with this. We don't know what exactly the real true timeline is. We know that Balefire was a kid before, but is he now the same age as... Would he now be the same age as Granny? Could he be the wolf? Possibly. It's an interesting theory.
Yep. Yeah.
I think it's a very interesting theory.
Wolves aplenty.
Wolves aplenty.
Nobody's going to pull the wool over my eyes, boy. Wolves. Okay, here is the next voicemail.
Hey, Jeff and Colleen. This is Dave in Michigan again. I just had a couple more things pop into my head that I wanted to relay to you guys. One, I didn't think about it right away, but after rewatching it, they talk about wolf's time, and how there's one more night left. And it made me harken back to a throwback to Buffy, which Jane Espenson was one of the primary writers for. They had a character on there who was a werewolf, and they had made a point of him having to worry about it for 3 days of the full moon, three phases. And so I wonder if it's something that I don't know about because I don't pay attention to regular werewolf stories, or if this was something more of a connection to Buffy, that she did it for the 3 days of the cycles of the full moon. The other thing that struck me and I had been on my mind was, why was Graham in the previously on? You know, when he was there and he told Snow to run, was that the timeline that they were setting? Was that was right after that? Was it because the box that we found with the heart in it was the one that Regina had given him? Or was it simply because they had known that everybody thought that maybe Graham was the wolf, and so that since they, you know, by the time that this episode was written, they had been watching the message boards and stuff like that, and so they wanted to play up on that theory on top of all the other people who they could have, who could have been the wolf, like they did with the stranger flirting with Ruby and Dr. Whale flirting with Ruby. Since Graham is dead, the only way to hint that it could be him that was the big bad wolf would have been to put him in the previously on. So I'm not sure which. I wondered what you guys thought. If you guys, you know, if that piqued your curiosity the first time, or if it took a rewatch to go, wait a minute, why is he doing this? Or if it never even crossed your guys' mind. So just a curious thought. I think that's it now that I'm awake and not forgetting anything else. So I can't wait for you guys to record the podcast tonight and hear it tomorrow. Thanks again for everything you guys do to get this information out to us. And
Have a good one.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dave. Yeah. Interestingly enough, okay, so the Jane Espenson and Buffy thing. I didn't watch Buffy because I was too scared back in the day to watch Vampire Crepe. Vampire. Can you help me out here a little bit? Because I'm drowning.
Okay.
Vampire.
Yes.
Type shows.
Yes.
The blah, 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 blah. I don't even know what's wrong with my tongue.
Okay.
Anyway, I didn't watch Buffy, so I really can't say, but I would not be surprised if that was some sort of homage to Jane's time on Buffy.
I think they allow room for those types of things. I mean, if Adam and Edward are throwing in, you know, little things from Lost here and there, I'm quite sure, you know, that when they hired, you know, Jane, probably the first question she asks is, Can I put in some things from? And they probably said, yes, you can.
You know? I'm sure they maybe even asked her before she even offered. Yeah. So I would say, yeah. And I don't know enough about werewolf lore either to say yes or no about the 3 days. But that works for me. It makes sense.
Yeah.
Plus, it also follows along the lines of what I said earlier in the podcast, which I didn't really say. So if you follow it along that, you'll know what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Dr. Whale. He's just a lech, but I think they put him in there to throw everybody off because they knew that was like everyone, you know, that was a big theory that was going around. I'm sure they knew that people thought he was the big bad wolf, and he kind of seemed like he was on some level, but.
Cause I know Adam and Edward listen. Hi guys. I know they do. And they go, that Jeff thinks that Dr. Whale is the wolf.
Yeah.
You gotta trick them.
They probably did. So, I think that was like a red herring, so to speak, or a MacGuffin.
Okay.
The next thing was seeing the Huntsman in the opening credits when they the preview or the recap from, you know, previously on Once Upon a Time. I think that was also another throw out to a couple things. I think that was multiple. There's multiple reasons for that. One, it establishes that Snow is hunted, right? We already know she is, and reminds us why she's running, right? Second is that the Huntsman, it was the Huntsman's box. I'm telling you as sure as I'm sitting here, it was the Huntsman's box that Ruby found.
Okay.
And
hold on.
What?
Hold on. Okay. So what you're telling me is the Huntsman brought the heart to the Evil Queen in a box.
Yes.
Okay. I want to nicely say you are incorrect. He brought it in his pouch.
Okay. Wait, hold on. She gave him that box, or she had that box that she was going to put the heart in that box. Okay. But that was the Huntsman's box.
Okay. Okay.
What I'm saying is it's the heart she intended to use for Snow White's heart from the Huntsman. Okay. And what I'm saying is, and what I've always said is that it looks exactly like the one that the Evil Queen in Disney cartoon gave to the Huntsman. She gave him the box. All right. And he did bring it back in the box. So
In the cartoon. Okay.
So
very good.
So that's all I'm saying.
I'm telling
But what I'm okay. it is the Huntsman's box.
Okay.
And when we see this, one
person out of, you know, thousands want us to argue. So this is
Then this is it. We're not.
And they're arguing. Probably not even listening anymore.
They're probably not. Oh well. No. I'm saying, and I, by the way, have a few people who agree with me that is the Huntsman's box, right. And they understand exactly where I'm coming from. Okay. It's the Disney cartoon, the Huntsman's box.
Okay. Excellent. So,
but what I was going to say is, and the reason for having Jamie Dornan, you know, Sheriff Graham, Huntsman, whatever you want to call him, in the opening credits was to throw us off the scent on the Big Bad Wolf, maybe, because we know it's not him. We knew it wasn't him. There just was no way it was him. Secondly, it was to, you know, remind us that Snow White is being hunted, and third, to tie in with the box at the end. So we'd instantly think of, Huntsman when we saw that box.
Okay.
I'm just saying. And sounds, you know, like, what? You should talk now for a while so I can stop.
I'm trying. Okay, here's the next voicemail. Here we go.
Hey, Jeff and Colleen, this is Dave from Michigan again. I'm just calling because I had a couple of things that popped into my head. But these are mostly jokes, so if you don't want to put them on the show, I can understand that. One thing is the box that is buried about, like 2 inches in the ground under a giant board. Kind of obvious that it was supposed to be found. So maybe Regina put it there? And the thought process came to me, talk about slanting evidence. And then the other thing is, every time we see Dr. Whale, he is hitting on somebody, or he is, you know, he is very much insinuated that he's very much a woman actor. And we still haven't figured out who he is in storybook. So maybe he is a one of the dwarves. Perhaps he's horny. I just thought that I'd give you guys a joke.
Oh, wow.
Made you laugh. So, have a good one.
Oh, my God. Oh, boy. Yeah, ABC, wow. That wasn't me. And dwarfs, if you're listening, you know, maybe there could be a ninth. I don't know. Wow. I don't even know what to say. Thanks, Dave, for that. I've got one other voicemail that is it is comedic, and it's from our good friend Alira. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
This is fun. Wait a minute. This is the music part.
Top of the morning to you, Jeff and Colleen. It's your friend from the North Alira. Well, seeing as how St. Paddy's Day is just around the corner, I figured I'd record this message for you. Last night's episode, Red Handed, was amazing. Early on, I thought it was Peter who was the wolf, just like Colleen did. Like Colleen, as well, I hoped that Red, in wolf form, would not eat her love, Peter, and was a little sad she did. My heart broke when Red realised she was the wolf. Poor girl. Fashion Watch one runs rampant on this one. The hoods that Red and Snow, or maybe if you prefer, were wearing were so beautiful. Everyone involved in the costuming, not just Mrs. French, deserves a lot of love and thanks. Also, Snow's scarf was such a pretty lace. I was trying to determine if it was crocheted or not. I may have to watch the episode again. Darn it. What do you, Helga, or the other once a yarn crafters think? Love to hear it. I was listening to the live recording of another podcast this morning, and they were playing a Paul and Storm song named Cruel, Cruel Moon. I thought it was quite appropriate. Check out paulandstorm.com and look for the name of that song and listen to it. Well, I had best keep this short, as I enjoy listening to the two of you talk better than me. Have a good one.
Hi there, this is Wayne Henderson, the voice of the Once Upon a Time fan podcast. Check out my voice acting services at mediavoiceovers.com. Thanks for listening, and now back to the show.
I want...
And the rest of the day to you.
Top of the morning to you. This is Louis the Leprechaun.
Your leprechaun always sounds drunk.
How are you doing?
You do. Your Irish accent is good, but you sound drunk all the time.
I want to send out big love to Alira. That was fine, fine work with the voice.
I will say she does do an amazing Irish
accent. That was really great.
That was really great.
And so she said that the music is from Incompetech.com, and the music was by Kevin McLeod.
Ooh, very lively.
My good friend Kevin McLeod.
Very lively and lovely.
Yes, it was very, very nice. So I figured that was a nice end.
Yeah.
What do you think about the hoods and things?
The scarf was really pretty. I wasn't paying attention to it, of all things. What, you know what actually caught my eye was Granny's cable knit sweater vest at the end.
Yep, yep.
That's what, well, that and Mary Margaret's lace hat, which I just love, her knitted lace hat. That's just gorgeous.
Yep.
But anyway, I'd have to go back and look at it again, but I'm pretty sure that some of the other folks who watch our show or listen, watch our show, who listen to our show and watch Once Upon a Time will probably have a better chance of explaining that than I will, because I'm not the expert. I mean, I'm getting to be, you know, a knitter, but I'm just still an amateur.
Ah, you're doing great. Okay, so thank you again, Alira, for that wonderful voicemail.
That was awesome.
And the accent. In my former days of audio, I did a show that three people listened to, and I did a lot of accents, so it did my heart good to hear somebody do an accent. So
yeah.
Anyway,
she did a great job.
Excellent. And so that brings us to the end of this show. It's a long show, but you know, lots of things to what?
Long and winding show.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm so punchy now.
Oh boy.
I know.
So anyway,
what can I say?
We will be joining you live Saturday.
Yes.
And we will have an announcement.
Oh.
On Saturday.
Okay.
About something exciting and different that will be occurring.
No.
Okay, then. Fine. I guess we won't.
If it's what I think it is, I will talk about it offline, but yeah.
All right. Okay, very good. Always know there's something. We always have surprises aplenty. There's always something going on.
If it's something else, then yeah, you're welcome to spill a secret on Saturday. But if it's what I think it is.
I'm not going to say anything else then.
I told you I'm a little punchy.
All right, then. So anyway, thanks for joining us, folks. And just remember, we will be back on Saturday live, 7 p.m. Pacific time.
That is correct.
And you never know what's going to happen.
You should try
and then always listen. Okay, so, and we will talk to you guys again. And I apologize ahead of time for the different voice levels.
Yeah.
We're working on something new. So we will talk again soon. See you guys.
Bye.
Bye-bye.